Gordon Novell is our guest. We're here at the UFO Congress on the beautiful Colorado River in Laughlin at the Aquarius Casino Resort. So you look back over this 50-plus years, and not only are they robbing you every day.
Government by a gangster.
But in addition to that, if you stop and think about it, I guess if you could move things instantaneously, you wouldn't have the airplane crashes, the automobile accidents.
UFOs don't crash very often unless somebody causes them to.
In other words, the UFO crashes that we investigate here, they were probably caused by us with weapons of some sort?
Yeah, probably microwaves or something like that, or some missile shot through the top of a hole in a bunker where they were keeping nukes. That's one way they could have done it. Or they just ran into a lightning bolt, and they came from a planet that didn't have lightning, and next thing they knew, they were on the ground. There's three or four scenarios. I like the suicide scenario.
Tell me about the suicide scenario.
I think that there are alien civilizations out there that have cloned their, we'll call them their help. their immigration help. They clone them, and these little guys know that when you die, you don't die, so dying is kind of like Al-Qaeda. You get 72 dancing virgins. Well, instead of that, you just get to go to a nicer place and get out of this spiritual body, and I mean out of this material body and get into a spiritual body. So I think they probably know a lot more about metaphysics and religion than we do, by a bunch. They know what it's all about. We are guessing.
You just mentioned something. You mentioned Al-Qaeda. Back there in the Carter administration, I think you were involved in some terrorism investigations or something, right? Freeing a hostage or something?
Yeah, I got a hostage out of Beirut. That was, I don't brag about it, but it was a very rough proposition.
Well, didn't they catch you during the process of it?
Yeah, that was the idea. I had to get caught.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I didn't go in there.
How do you volunteer for something like that?
By somebody writing a check for $50,000. That's how. Give me the $50,000 and I'll go do your deed.
And so you did it, and they released you too. Obviously, you're here.
They like me. They were impressed because I had a letter from Khomeini that gave me authorization, a fatwa letter, to get this hostage out.
Was it a real letter?
Oh yeah, it was from Khomeini. They held me in prison for a couple of weeks while they checked the letter out before they released the hostage for me.
And so you're no stranger to danger. What's the most dangerous thing you've done?
Fooling around with some women that I,
oh, I understand.
Wish I had to fool around with.
Well, hey, well, you know, you ended up in court.
I had
court.
Some good time.
You had one time over women, so yeah. We don't want to get into that subject.
Yeah, I married a couple of beautiful ones. It's a mistake.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
I like the charm of it all, huh?
Yeah, but that's so.
Well, that goes back because you went to Hollywood early on. Were you going to be an actor, interested in producing and directing?
Yeah, but at that time the industry was there were more fags than there were legitimate people, so I kind of couldn't handle that.
So, you had to deal with some unsavory characters like that in New Orleans too.
Oh yeah, well they walk around there too. But,
well, I meant if the movie was even close. When they're talking to you about you, you were out there doing a lot of things. I'm talking about the JFK movie now.
Oh yeah, I got kind of close to that. That was a little bit. I got too close to the candle for the flame.
Yeah.
The flame is a little warm. Next thing I know, I go from being Garrison's chief of security one day to his most important material witness the next day. That's quick.
Now, I understand that. Now, you really feel, don't you, Gordon? And you know, I know you know deep in your heart, and probably have evidence for it, that the same people that did Kennedy and are still around doing everybody else.
I would have to believe that based on what I know, that the people who whacked Kennedy were a combination of the German Galen organization and probably Majestic 12 and some folks from the FBI because they had to cover it up. And the mafia who probably pulled the triggers.
As your good friend Jim Morris says, all of the suspects.
All the suspects. Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, they had a nice little show going there.
Gordon Novell is our guest. We're here at the UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada. It's not easy to get here. Gordon ended up taking a bus.
Yeah.
It's not easy to get here at all. Gordon, I took a bus here once. That's the reason I knew about the bus station in a major. They shake everybody down, then they go down about 60 miles, and anybody can get on that bus if wanted to. So
yeah,
it's kind of
like
silly.
I said, you know, what?
It seems to me that we've had lots of strange things like that happening over the years, and this Homeland Security issue all the way around looks like it's just a way to make money.
It's a farce. I mean, the whole system today is a grand farce. I mean, all these. Let me have the terrorists. I would rather have my freedoms, and you can scare the hell and let the terrorists go ahead and scare the hell out of me. But let me have my freedoms. All right. Don't fool with my freedoms. I'll take my risk with the terrorists.
Speaking of freedom, you were involved in Watergate, and you almost lost your freedom.
Yeah, well, I almost went to jail for conspiracy to obstruct justice and erasing all the tapes. So I was accused of that, and I was guilty. So
yeah, so you're going to confess now?
Yeah,
past the statute of limitations.
Yeah, well, past the statute.
Right.
Yeah, but I managed to counter intimidate Jaworski and threaten to expose his hand.
That's a special prosecutor.
Yeah, he wanted me to come home, and he was very angry at me for conspiring with Colson to erase all the tapes. And
what kind of guy is Chuck Colson, really? I guess he was rotten then, and he went to prison and turned out to be a minister.
No, I liked him when he was rotten.
I know that. I can tell that.
Yeah, I mean, he was a real human being. I mean, anybody that walk over his grandmother and step on his grandmother to get a president elected is my kind of guy. But, you know, he was real friendly until he got to prison. After he got to prison, he ratted me out on the tapes thing about. And I don't know whether that traded him some years. I hope it did. But
what was going on with Watergate there? I mean, it seems like it's such a minor crime.
Watergate was a totally bogus operation. It was caused by USA versus Novell for interstate transportation of electronic intelligence equipment in Reno in 1969.
Now, you're pretty good at electronic intelligence, right?
They say I am.
Okay, I have. So
some people say I am.
Well, I've heard that before. It's the reason I said that.
Yeah,
I've said that. So you've done your share of
stuff. I've heard some.
Can you give me a little background?
Well, it started off with me developing a machine that I put in the Oval Office at the White House that made it impossible for foreign agents to bug the president's conversations, or a sleeper agent on the National Security Council walking in and tape recording the thing. That in turn got me into other things. But yes, I have made surveillance equipment in the past, the best there ever was. I invented about half of it.
So when we talk about these alien reproduction vehicles, you're no stranger to technology.
No, I like technology.
And so we're talking about Gordon Novell, who's been involved in all kinds of government intelligence and counterintelligence operations, but at the same time, you got a brain there. You've done a lot of developing of a lot of different things, including all this intel equipment.
Yeah, well, I've done some interesting stuff in the past, so We like to. I've built some technologies and got some patents that worked out and keep me afloat. Nickel a year or two, you know.
Yeah. And now the reason I bring all this up is, as we get around to the alien reproduction vehicle, because this is a UFO conference. You literally are very serious, because this company that you've been associated with, I mean, you put together these people. You got some operatives, but you'd like to get a couple of people who've really been on the inside, like out of the Area 51, to come over.
Yeah, most of the ones that come out of the closet are bogus. Paul McGovern and Gene Lukowski and Ernie Kellerstrass. Maybe Kellerstrass is real, but most of them are pseudonyms for somebody else. You know, they're all bogus. I
fully expected somebody to come up because I feel the same way you do about these people, these agents. One guy tried to pass himself off as Paul McGovern.
I don't believe him.
No, he doesn't exist, I don't think.
He's bogus. He's either Rick Doty or Bob Collins.
Yeah,
take the choice.
Yeah, and Rick was supposed to come down here and talk, but I haven't seen him.
Well, I think he's afraid to talk because Ron's one of my contacts at Langley's a little pissed at him. So
In fact, your CIA guy there, he even wrote me an email. Yeah. Very, very curious one, however. He told me just enough to make me nervous that I would like to find out more. I guess that's the technique they use, right?
Yeah, well, my guy is up there.
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
right?
Man, he's the best of the best. He's as patriotic as the red, white, and blue gets, and he's got courage and integrity and honor. I'm not going to mention his name. Most people.
No, we can't. Can't mention the. But we know who we're talking about,
yeah,
and
right.
Most people do too. That. Not most people, just a few people in an inner circle. But there are good guys in the CIA, in other words.
Yeah, in fact, I got to tell you that the CIA is like a bunch of Eagle Scouts. They're my favorite bunch of guys because they're all patriotic. Most of them that reported about the weapons of mass destruction were not there. Our guy wrote 14 reports and said, hey, they're not there. It's BS. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I did everything I could to stop the invasion, but Ramsey and I don't have drag enough weight to overcome the likes of a Rumsfeld.
When we talk about what's going on today, we get back to 9/11. Jim Mars and I are working on a series on 9/11. It'll premiere in 2 weeks. And Gordon, you're a well-known person. I'd like to maybe get your help occasionally. Can I run some few things by you and see what you think about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
And
9/11
the check is in the mail.
Yeah. 9/11's bogus. It's bogus gets. I mean, it's Kennedy all over again. Just a big. They've learned how to go from killing a president to killing off 3,000 Americans. You know, where is Osama bin Laden? I mean, you know, you can find a roach in the rainforest in Brazil, and we can't find Osama bin Laden because they don't want to find him. And they don't want to find him because Bush is still friendly with the bin Laden family. And Osama is still a member of the family. So, you know, they don't want to find him. It's bogus. It's all bogus. Everything's bogus. There is no find Osama and get Osama.
We are going to go into great detail on that in some future shows. And Gordon, as you heard here on the air, is committed to help us a little with this. Did you think they planned 9/11 the way it turned out?
When I saw that building number 7 come down that afternoon, I knew that all was bogus because you can't wire a building and blow it up that quick. And why did they blow up the building? There was nothing the matter with the building. There was nothing the matter. That guy just collected insurance. That guy, Paul Silverman, or whatever his name is a gangster.
Yeah.
They're criminals.
And Silverstein.
Silverstein,
If we're going to get sued for libel, we might as well do it right.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Silverstein is a crook. He's a crook who insured the buildings and got his money and took them down.
Now, you went to Waco and you did an investigation, and our buddy Bob Ricks, of the FBI, we've had a few run-ins, but not like you.
I always thought Mr. Ricks was a major league war criminal.
And he
killed a bunch of babies and women and children. Gassed them, shot them, burned them alive.
And you guys went to court on that case, and you had to do it civilly, right?
Yeah, and the judge that we had to face was the judge who engineered it to begin with, Walter Smith. He's the one that caused it. He's the one who actually caused Waco to happen. So how could we win? And then the Fascist Fifth backed him up, and the Supreme Fascist group up there that Bush appointed, they backed them all up. You can't beat the government. If you catch them dead-handed, they're going to let them go. That's why 9/11, I don't know if we'll ever, if we could get them to confess, I'm not sure that would help.
It seems to me, and when we're talking about these things, and you've been involved since the early 60s, were you ever, did you come on board after the Bay of Pigs or before?
During.
During, okay.
Yeah. I got accused of burglary of an ammunition dump with a whole bunch of CIA materials with CIA stamped all over it, stamped in our arms, which was a CIA proprietary.
Did you?
Owned by Sam Cummins. No, we didn't burglarize anything. We just gave the Cubans what I was told to give them. My control just happened to pop up. I had a drag strip, and the bunker was out there filled full of these neat explosives, and we just backed the truck up and took them all out, sent them over to Cuba. Boom, bang, went in for the Bay of Pigs. They were diversionary explosives. So, but I later Garrison found out about it and charged me with burglary, but nobody ever prosecuted me because I didn't steal anything. Can't steal what belongs to you.
That's a good argument. You've been a special relationship with Ramsey Clark all this time.
Yeah, I've been Mr. Clark's Doberman since about 1966, 67. I started working for him when I was coming out of the White House.
We've been talking to Gordon Novell. We have about 10, 12 more minutes on another segment, but we wanted to flush these things out. I was skipping around a lot, Gordon, but basically we wanted to flush these things out and let people know Gordon Novell is here, and he's ready to go public, and you have been doing it for a little while.
Yeah, for the last couple of months I'm taking the high road because I figure it's harder to kill somebody who's visible than to kill them when they ain't.
Well,
yeah.
That's been my hope.
and
I hope you're right.
Well, I do have those CD-ROMs I told you about.
Yes, you do. You have a little insurance.
I have a little catastrophe insurance is what I call it. If these CD-ROMs got on the web, the stock market's a crash in a month. In very rapid order.
You just heard Gordon Novell explain how he's still here. A lot of people have been listening to this conversation saying, well, if that's really happening, how come they didn't just knock him off? Because they do knock people off, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't kill that which is going to destroy you.
We'll be right back. I'm Jerry Pippin.
In March of 1997, a huge triangular ship appeared over Phoenix. Thousands saw it, and even now, years later, Phoenix is a place of UFO intrigue, sightings, experiences.
It just didn't look like anything I'd ever seen in my life.
Hear about it on The Jerry Pippin Show.
We're now talking to Gordon Novell here in Laughlin, Nevada. I'm Jerry Pippin. Gordon, you've gone public, a public man. We just talked about that. What's your goal here? I know that you got this big movie deal going Tuesday. I hope you get it signed.
Yeah, me too.
That's going to be a trilogy, right?
Yeah, it's sort of like Back to the Future for real. You know, a UFO is nothing but the DeLorean in the movie was nothing but a UFO and hiding in the skin of a stainless steel sports car.
Well, you've actually had experience with John DeLorean, too, right?
Oh, yeah. I was the guy who got him out of all that trouble.
And you want to tell us how you did that? Or?
Yeah, I obstructed the hell out of justice.
well, I guess
that pretty much. I had the U.S. attorney about to jump out of his room. He was scared to death of me. So, I mean, they kept finding their bugs in their phones. I wonder how that happened.
now, we got about 10 minutes left. What's your project that's most dear to you right now? It's getting this movie off, I guess.
Yeah, we're working on the movie. The movie is the story of how it's a true story about how we got our hands on the technology and are putting the sword to Majestic's throat and saying either let us white world it and save the planet or we'll
So in other words, you're doing just like some of the neocons these days. You're laying out your plan. You're going to tell them what we're doing, and then you're doing it.
Yeah,
and you're doing it in the movie.
Yeah, we're gonna make the bad guys. They can either become heroes in the movie and be nice and let us have that technology, so we don't have to develop it, and we can just start manufacturing it. Or they can find themselves in the movie.
Have you thought about, you're a great guy for study groups and research.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't know that about you, but you really are. Have you thought about the ramifications of when you do get this free energy going? I mean, I don't know how they could keep it away. I mean, it looks like Mother Nature is going to lose all the petroleum before we get...
We're going to run out of it,
yeah.
But we're not going to run out of it before we collapse the atmosphere and end up burning ourselves alive, because that is the great fear, is
now,
the global burning.
Your people in Washington tell you this may happen soon.
Yeah, the tipping point is that Professor Lovelock, who wrote a book, James Lovelock, called Revenge of Gaia, that says that we're about 24 to 36 months from the tipping point where we can't fix it.
Wait a minute. 2 to 3 years?
Maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, it can go quick. It can go quick. The ice caps are melting real fast.
Yeah,
polar
I understand
bears
that part.
Polar bears are drowning. They got no place to go. They got no place to eat. We're about to get rid of the polar bear and get rid of ourselves, and we follow him right behind. So,
Gordon, speaking of that, what's the story on chemtrails?
Chemtrails is a super secret program spending billions of dollars daily to put up stuff in the atmosphere to try to keep the heat from burning up the ground and making things hot enough to ultimately melt everything. They're flying them over as many chemtrail flights over the pole as there is anywhere else on Earth. So they're, if you look up in the sky, you can see
so
them.
So they're trying to reflect the heat or
keep it back in? Yeah, those trails spread out into clouds, and the clouds reflect the heat up every day, and they do it. They start off early in the morning, and by the afternoon, they got some clouds, and so they cut the heat by about 50%. And it's nothing, but if you look at those planes, there's no end number on their tails. They're big, huge airliners. They're carrying about 300,000 pounds of aluminum oxide and other cute little barium oxide. They're distributing it, and they're causing a lot of people a lot of environmental problems, but they don't give a damn because they're worried about killing the heat. So chemtrails is all about global warming.
And global warming, as we mentioned, the main problem is the tundra melts. The gases get in the air, and that kills people, but...
All that ice under the polar caps is full of methane. You can take a chunk of that ice out of a bore bit and pull it up, and you can literally put a match to the ice. And the gas is constantly vapor. I mean, once you take it out of its covers, it'll release into the atmosphere, and there's about 70 trillion tons of it. And that's enough to set the whole Earth into go boom, burn up everything on the planet overnight. And in fact, one big boom, and it flashes, and there's no oxygen left for anybody to breathe if you survive the fires, because it'll catch everything on fire, and we're all going to be toast. They don't tell you how bad it really is, because global warming goes to global burning, global heating goes to global burning, and you can literally fry the whole Earth. That's the big problem, and that's the super secret. And where that money's coming from, everybody would love to know. I'd love to know how they're funding it, you know, because it's a huge program. It's billions.
Many
billions.
So
it costs money to fly them big airplanes.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, just fuel alone.
I mean, you paint this doomsday scenario. Is there any hope at all? I mean, it's almost too late.
If the boys at 51 will relent and let's make peace and save the world, we can do that. If they don't, then they can watch themselves in the movie, because we're going to paint them as the gangsters they are.
What do you think they really think, these guys? Or they just don't care?
Most of them collect a paycheck and click their heels to some generals who... click their heels to some bankers in Europe. I call them gangbangsters. And the gangbangsters run the world and tell us what to do, and the generals work for them.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I want to promise the audience we'd find your take on MJ-12. What's the deal there? This is a secret society?
Yeah, a secret apparatus, which means an intelligence arm, and it's been out there since about... oh, probably in the early 40s, as early as maybe the late 30s, early 40s.
Is this a spinoff of the old Illuminati, or is this something
different? No, they were originally created by the Joint Chiefs of Staff and by General Marshall.
So this is a U.S. creation.
Yeah. But except that once they got the alien technology functional from the back engineering, then at that point, Kissinger turned it all over to the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers.
So, when we talk about, can we name names? I mean, McConnell, appointment of Bush, I've always heard his name connected with.
Yeah, well, he's supposedly MJ-1, and now he's the head of our intelligence organization, so it looks like they've had a coup.
And we didn't even notice.
Yeah, nobody saw him coming.
And then we got Gates over there at defense. Is that significant?
It's significant because Admiral Inman, who used to be a friend of mine, is
Bobby
MJ.
He said used to be. What happened?
Well, he won't talk to me now.
Really?
I don't know. He won't return my phone calls. So I'm a little unhappy with Robert.
Well, so what's significant about all of that?
Well, the significance is if they don't release this technology, we're going to all go to hell in a handbasket real soon, probably by around 2012.
Now, Inman knows all about this.
Oh, absolutely.
You think Stansville Turner does? Now, you worked in that administration.
I don't know about...
He seems like a decent guy.
About that, Admiral Turner and
yeah.
I are... We're not at odds. I'm not at odds with anybody. They say I'm a super patriot around the CIA these days.
Yep.
So I can't tell you anything except what I know. And what I know is that if we don't get control of that technology and get that technology to replace our choo-choo trains and our steamboats and our utility reactors and our coal-fired plants and our gas-fired plants, we're all going to be dead.
Okay, we got about a minute left. We got to get the challenge out there again. We got to get the Area 51 boys. You got some evidence, right?
Oh, we got a lot of evidence. I mean, we got more evidence than we know what to do with.
So now, what do we got to do here? We got to get them to release it for an organization like yours.
Yeah. We want to trade the patents that we stole from them. We want to trade them back.
And you think you can do that?
Yeah, why not? They can't come out with them. How are they going to say we stole it from the aliens? I don't think they're going to.
And you actually have these patents?
Yes.
And your group?
Yeah, we didn't get patents, but we found another way around it because they won't let you have any patents. They'll take them away from you under national security. So we prepared affidavits and we set it up so that we could take our case to the International Patent Court of The Hague. Then we went and made some deals with some foreigners to file some patents, and we were very adroit about how we did all of this. So we're sitting.
So in other words, you got your bases covered.
Yeah, we own the alien technology. We just want them to turn over the hardware.
What are the odds? You think you've played the long shots before?
The odds are very good because I think that I'm saying to them, do you want to bury your children and your grandchildren in the same grave with yourself in about 5 or 6 years and watch everybody get toasted, or do you want to do the righteous thing and come out of the closet and let us have that technology and get rid of them stinky gasoline engines? I like gasoline, you know. I mean, I like the race cars and all that stuff, but let me tell you something. We're killing ourselves. We got to get rid of that gasoline. That gasoline, that oil, and that coal are junk. That's ancient technology. We need to throw it away.
Well, you're a Southern boy. You would like racing cars.
Oh, yeah. I always like hold the world land speed record for unlimited sports cars. Still do.
Right. I understand. We're out of time, or we could follow that up. Basically, folks, it's GordonNovell@yahoo.com.
And G.Novell@yahoo.com.
Okay, we'll get it right.
Yeah.
And he's the only man I know that's wired. First time I met him, he was in a suit, had a tie, something in his ear, a little BlackBerry thing in his arm, and he was talking to me, talking to other people, and getting messages. What's that earphone, a cell phone?
No, that's one of those Bluetooth earphones. That's hands-free.
Okay, so
that lets,
so
lets
you
me were, play with.
You're connected.
Yeah, I'm wired. I'm wired.
Gordon, it's been a pleasure.
We've
got to do something to save this country.
Save
the world.
I don't want to be saving the world. I just want to get the money.
There's an honest man for you, and that's a good way to close the show. Roberta Scott's been our in-studio producer, actually on location. We're not in the studio here. We're in the lobby of the convention center at the Aquarius Resort Hotel. Our tape editor is James Swartley. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Cheers.